This is Tiger Cast, the official podcast of Princeton Athletics. Now here's your host, Craig Saxon.
Welcome back to the latest edition of Tiger Cast. As always, you can subscribe to Tiger Cast through iTunes or your favorite podcast app by searching Princeton Tigers. You'll get the weekly Tiger Casts as well as any other podcast from Princeton Athletics, like the Hoops Hour with Henderson. I mentioned a couple weeks ago the great two-part podcast with Pete Carrill, certainly a must-listen for Princeton fans. Today's show, we will hit a couple of championship events, first official Ivy Championship events of the year, as the men's and women's heptagonal cross-country championships will be taking place right here on Princeton's campus, West Windsor Fields. And we'll have junior defensive lineman Kurt Haluba, the reigning Ivy League Defensive Player of the Week, as the football team looks forward to Saturday's game at Cornell. We'll talk about each before our interviews, but we will start with a quick look at the schedule, some big events for the weekend. The one team that's in best position in the Ivy League race is the women's volleyball team. They're 8-0 in the league, two games up on any other team. Currently, Yale is 6-2, Columbia 5-3. Princeton is at Dartmouth Friday night and at Harvard Saturday night, both on the Ivy League Digital Network. Princeton, if it goes 2-0 this weekend, would eliminate five teams from championship contention. So, big opportunity for the Tigers this weekend. Also, Friday night, the start of men's ice hockey season. They will be at Michigan State. And the women's ice hockey team plays their first Ivy League game as they will be at Brown, Ivy League and ECAC. Tigers coming off a good weekend last weekend. They'll be home next weekend, so we'll start talking about them a little bit more then. On Saturday, as I mentioned, Ivy League Heps Championships. We'll get to those in a second. Four games at Cornell. Field hockey at noon, football at 12:30, women's soccer at 2:30, and then men's soccer at 5. So, big weekend for some Princeton teams. A few other teams also in competition, including water polo. Check goprincetontigers.com for full coverage of the weekend PU Tigers as well. All right, let's get to our interviews. We'll start with Brad Hunt, the new head coach of the women's cross-country team, as the Tigers will be the first team to compete at HEPS. That's an 11 o'clock start. The men will follow at 12. Certainly, this is not the Princeton team that Brad Hunt expected to coach or hoped to coach this year. Injuries have really, really taken its toll on this team. When you look at, you know, the possibility of having a 1-2 punch in Megan Curram and Lizzie Bird coming into a weekend like this, and now, you know, you're without either one of them. So, you know, certainly kind of puts Princeton back in the pack with some other teams. You know, they'll be hoping to certainly spring an upset this weekend, but, you know, it's also a chance for some young runners to kind of get a feel for this kind of event and a couple older runners who may not have been depended on in the past, you know, having their opportunity to make a statement at the heptagonal championship. So always a fun event. If you can get out to West Windsor Fields, I don't think weather should be too bad. Might be a little chilly, but certainly, we've seen worse at heptagonals that have been hosted by Princeton. So doesn't look like there's going to be a massive snowstorm. At least we have that going for us. So again, 11 a.m. The women, and let's hear now from their new head coach, Brad Hunt. Brad, before we get into kind of the team and Heps this weekend, I want to talk a little bit about your time and you know what's brought you to Princeton. You know, a lot of people come to an Ivy school, and it's you know this totally new experience. But I guess for you, having coached at institutions like Wake Forest and Virginia, that probably gave you a nice preparation for what kind of coaching here is like.
Yeah, thank you for the question. I think that's exactly what enamored me with Princeton, a very high, prestigious academic institution. Parents and the student athletes themselves aspire to be remarkable students and do great things in life. And certainly to me, Princeton being the premier place in the country to do so.
You came here and certainly had to be excited at the prospect of coaching a Megan Curram and a Lizzie Bird. And obviously, you know, injuries have really impacted this team. the rest of the group, when you lose your top two leaders, it can be deflating, but it seems like, you know, your group has kind of carried on pretty energetically. I mean, how happy have you been kind of with just the determination that the group has shown?
Yeah, thank you for the question. On a piece of paper, we had one of the best teams returning, especially with two top leaders in Megan and Lizzie. Unfortunately, I haven't had the pleasure of even coaching Megan just yet, and Lizzie's still kind of rebounding back from some of her setbacks from the spring. But it's probably said a lot about the tenaciousness and the persistence of the group. And I guess probably what you would expect from any young student athlete at Princeton. But certainly I think we've got a fantastic group of women who really aspire to support and challenge each other to be better. And I think there's a great fight and a great desire to be successful regardless of who's lining up for us.
Allie Markovich has been, you know, I guess probably the top runner you've had so far in the fall. Somebody who, you know, is as you mentioned to me before, you know, a walk-on, and now is not only, you know, providing important points for you, but also leading a really talented group of young women. Talk about her as much as a runner, but also as a leader and kind of, you know, as you're trying to build a culture here, how she's impacted that.
Yeah, I think if someone had a chance to meet Allie for 5 minutes, they'd appreciate how unique she is as a person. I tell her all the time, I just love her vibe. She's just got such a great confidence about herself, and she's really helped create who she is by her hard work and determination. And she's gone from modest credentials coming out of high school to being one of our most consistent kids on the team thus far, qualified in the NCAA first round last year in track and field. And I think those are the spots is that she's made herself to who she is. And I think it's inspirational for everybody to say, regardless of what you've accomplished in your starting point out of high school, look where you can head and where you can go. So she's certainly our mama duck for all our baby goslings. We've got 6 freshmen and sophomores in our top 8. And to me, Allie is invaluable in regards to her leadership and her consistent ability to perform well when spotlight's on.
With youth that like that, you know, how much have they improved? And, you know, when you're, especially with some freshmen who are trying to not only adjust to collegiate running, but simply college life, being away from home, you know, how has the transition been for them? And how happy have you been just kind of with the state of growth in the program?
Yeah, I think if you look at our results, you'll see the young crew is usually inconsistent, and that's what we've been. We had some great performances in the middle of the year at Paul Short, and a great team pack and design running the way we were. Wisconsin, we're a little overwhelmed. 19 ranked teams in the country, and you could tell that it was a little bit of an overwhelming environment for a young crew. But we were there for a reason, to get that experience. This is who we aspire to be. This is who we're going to work hard to become. And I think those are the life experiences that you offer a young crew. You learn by doing. And certainly sometimes you're going to get some humble pie, and other times you're going to have some great success along the way.
You obviously get another big experience, you know, Saturday at 11 with Heps, you know, right here in Princeton. So I'm sure that's a nice thing, especially midterm week. But, you know, with 3 Ivy teams ranked right now in the top 30, do you look at it as, you know, really just that, another experience, another opportunity for them to learn about themselves and to face this kind of environment and see how they handle it?
Yeah, I think that's exactly correct, is that when you have 3 ranked teams in the top 30 in the country are paving the way, an immense challenge in front of you. You're on your home crowd, everyone's watching, everyone's paying attention, you're defending Ivy League champions. It's a big spotlight, a lot of pressure. But I think it's what we're trying to deflect that and say, let's be who we are and race the way that we know how to race as a group and a pack. And that's for us. We're the pack of Tigers. They're going to be the best that we can be based off of the group itself. And I think there's a big spot of what we can learn to see what we're capable of doing. And it's the league is, to me, is as deep and as successful as it's been in quite some time. And I think that's exactly the challenge we have before ourselves. This is a young group, inexperienced. We're going to be challenged immensely so, particularly here at home.
Now we'll talk to Jason Vigilante, the head coach of the Princeton men's cross country team. They will take the course at noon, again, like the women at West Windsor Fields, to compete for the men's cross-country heptagonal championship. Tigers, a little similar to the women in terms of, you know, injuries have kind of impacted this team, just not kind of clicking the way that certainly they would have hoped coming into this weekend. Some pretty good performances, especially from some young guys. Connor Lundy leading the way there, hit a terrific performance in Wisconsin and you know, could be one of the breakout runners at Saturday's event. But, you know, it's a Princeton team that I think will go in, you know, among a number of other teams that are looking to, you know, chase down Penn. Penn comes in as the only team that's at least receiving votes in the national poll, and so they've established themselves as the favorite. But you know, it's a home event for Princeton, which is a big deal, especially during midterms week. The opportunity to kind of get that extra day without travel and train on a course that you know. And you know, they go in with not nearly the same expectations that they've had in the past, and you know, that can be a good thing, especially for, you know, a team with a number of young runners. Again, it's a 12 o'clock start, and let's hear now from Jason Vigilante. Jason, before we get into this weekend, let's just kind of go through your season a little bit. You know, I know you've had a couple of injuries that have affected you, but overall, kind of how have you felt about performance and just kind of what you've gotten from your team so far?
Okay, it's been, as you said, a little bit of a frustrating season thus far. The way we looked at the HYP meet, I would have said that, you know, summer training has put us in a position to be where we want to be. And then in the subsequent weeks, you know, one guy has a broken foot and, you know, some sore muscles here and there, and then a couple guys getting sick. We've certainly taken some lumps, but the wonderful thing about cross country is you get 25 minutes and one shot to make your season. So we're going to do our best, and I've kind of made the analogy that we're like one of those B-17s that did a bombing run over Germany that's filled with holes and still flying. So perhaps that best describes how we are right now.
You know, one thing that happens when you do have a team that deals with a lot of injuries, it gives some other guys a chance to step up, and young guys. You know, I know Connor Lundy is somebody who has been impressive for you so far. Can you talk a little bit about him and maybe anybody else you felt like, you know, this person saw an opportunity and has done a really nice job?
Absolutely. Connor was one of the top high school recruits in the country, and he's a really competitive young man. And I've been really proud of him at how well he's run throughout the season and trained, and he's handled his academics, you know, with, you know, just fine. And but we also have some other seniors who I think it's their turn to step up, and some juniors as well. And in essence, that's what makes athletics significant, is you get to learn about yourself a little bit and do something for others.
You look at this weekend, you know, Penn's the one team that, you know, not inside the top 30 right now, but the one Ivy League team that's getting votes. Does it look like kind of they're the lead horse going into this weekend?
I think so. I think they have the depth and they have the low scorers. And with no disrespect to the other teams, I think they would all, the other coaches and the other athletes would agree that Penn has earned the right to be the clear-cut favorites. They sure handed it to us at Wisconsin, and then the next day they had a really good meet here. So, you know, but I think there's a lot of other teams that have worked hard, and they're proud of themselves, and they're going to come and compete as well.
The one thing about the weekend now is you will host it, you know, at West Windsor Field. Talk a little bit about the course, the condition of the course, and for your guys, how special it is to get to run their championship meet, you know, at their home.
Sure. I think it's always a positive for us to be able to run at home with our family and friends and the other students. And it also, in the midst of midterms, it makes it really nice where we don't have to take exams and travel on the same day. We've had great weather with rain. Brad Cabral and Nikki, they've done a tremendous job keeping the course in great shape. So I'm really looking forward to competing. The weather is supposed to be a little bit rainy, but that's fine too.
In a weekend like this, you know, you've been in this position where you've been the favorites, and it, you know, it can be a pressure-packed environment. Does this weekend kind of allow your guys to, like, you know, you're done with midterms, nobody's expecting anything, run free and see what happens?
I think that's a nice concept. But I think that every team, not just us, those are competitive guys, and we all have high aspirations. So regardless of whether you're the favorite or you're just trying to get out of the basement, I think the Ivy League championship brings out a lot of emotion, and it brings out, you know, the best in everybody. So that's going to be, you know, something that every team is going to have to work on, and ourselves included.
We'll wrap up today's show by talking to Kurt Holuba, as he will lead the Princeton football team. It's a Saturday's 12:30 game at Cornell. You can watch that game on the Ivy Digital Network or on One World Sports. Check your local listings for that. Princeton, obviously coming off, you know, a really disappointing overtime loss to Harvard last weekend. You know, in terms of the Ivy race, you know, Princeton's still in a decent position. Certainly doesn't control its own destiny as it did before, but you know, they still play Penn. Penn's unbeaten, and Penn still plays Harvard at Penn. So, you know, you can control what you can control and try to win out and see what happens. But, you know, that's a long ways away. This is a Cornell team that, A, is much improved over the past two seasons, and B, a program that has given Princeton just fits at Schoelkopf Field. I was, you know, looking up some, you know, annual records when I was, you know, writing the preview for this, and I was shocked by how few times Princeton's won back-to-back games at Schoelkopf. It just rarely happens, and it's a testament to how good Cornell plays in Ithaca. You know, they have a quarterback in Dalton Banks who has really kind of been one of the breakouts stars of the Ivy season so far, and Princeton will certainly have to get a pass rush as it did last weekend. And you know, nobody was better at that last weekend, I'm going to guess, almost anywhere in college football, as Kurt Holuba. 3 sacks, 10 tackles, 3 sacks, 30 yards of loss for the Princeton defensive lineman. And, you know, it's his sack totals really are, you know, an inch here, an inch there from being really impressive. I mean, he's gotten a good, consistent pass rush throughout the season, and just kind of, you know, quarterback gets rid of it just in time, or you know, slips away and ends up being sacked by somebody else. You know, Holuba has been a dominant defensive player. I just think the numbers showed it last weekend. You know, big game for the Tigers, an opportunity to get back on the winning side, and then, you know, set up a really fun week 8 against Penn. Again, 12:30 Saturday at Cornell. Watch it on the Ivy Digital Network. Listen on 103.3 FM or on the TuneIn app. And let's hear now from Kurt Holuba. Kurt, before we even start talking about this season, you know, you went through 7 weeks of on the sideline watching the guys play. How much do you just appreciate being back on the field and being able to compete after the, you know, what happened last season?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that was one of the hardest times I've ever gone through in my life, of just having to watch guys play when I knew I could be out there helping the guys and playing with them and making a difference. So I've really taken it to heart and cherished every single practice, every single game, and try to make them all count, because I know it could go real quick.
When you have 7 weeks like that where you can't play, how can you make yourself better? I mean, were there things you could get out of just watching from the sideline, a different view? Do you feel like you grew as a player during that time?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you could watch film every week and, you know, study up on guys that week and help the other guys and coach them up and talk about things that they do best and try and get them better each week, just from a mental aspect. And also, I could still lift upper body, so I was still working out every day and trying to get stronger in any way I could.
Let's talk about this season. If, you know, you went through those first two games, and, you know, Lafayette puts up over 30, and obviously Lehigh, you know, did very well. And then it seemed right after that game, things started to click for that defense. Obviously, Lehigh's been, you know, hasn't lost since, a very strong team. But have you felt like something's changed, either communication or things, you know, you've figured things out, and this is the defense you more expected to be this year?
Yeah, I mean, I think we probably turned a corner after that Lehigh game. It was a big wake-up call that, you know, we need to get things done, and we're going to be playing good teams, and if we don't play at our best, we're going to lose. So that was kind of a wake-up call for us, and I think since then we've approached practice the right way, and we've just been killing it every single day in terms of, you know, right communication and playing the game the right way in practice, and that's led to some good results on the field for us.
Saturday, obviously a terrific game, you know, a great comeback. Disappointing finish for you, though, you know, 10 tackles, 3 sacks, Ivy Defensive Player of the Week. Is it hard to kind of put the, you know, feel good about your own individual performance with the result, or can you separate, you know, how do you look back on a game like that?
I mean, I don't concern myself too much with the stats. I mean, it's all about the win or the loss at the end of the day. So obviously it was a really disappointing day. And even with the stats, I mean, there's still things on film that I know I could have done better, and things that I wish I did better throughout the day. But I mean, it's a team game. So, you know, plays that I made, while they could make a difference, I mean, there's more things that I could do, and there's things that we could all do better that could have led to a better result.
One thing that struck me during that game, and especially, you know, from your side, you had the two scoring drives, one on a short field, but even at 14-0, and this held true for the offense too, it never seemed like any sort of panic. You kind of just continued to play your game and trusted that, you know, it would work itself out. Could you feel that in the sideline, that, you know, even at 14-0, it was not time to panic, not time to change things up?
Yeah, I mean, on defense especially, I thought we were having some success. A couple bad situations that first drive were some mental lapses, and then we had to defend a short field for that second score. But, I mean, we were still doing things right on defense, so we kind of just kept that confidence going. And at halftime, we, you know, refocused and got the juice back up so we could come out firing in the second half. And, I mean, that's the kind of intensity that we try to play with the whole day.
You know, on campus, it's midterms week for you guys. You have Cornell coming up. You have a tough loss. And, you know, people talk about either, you know, being emotionally flat or being let down or something like that. You're around the guys all the time. What's the energy like right now?
It's great. I mean, we know that we played our asses off or played our butts off in that game. And, you know, in the Ivy League, every game is a playoff game. So there's no room for taking a week off or, you know, mental lapses. It's like we need to beat Cornell, and if we don't, then the season's over. So that's the kind of mentality that we have. So, yeah, I think the guys are good right now. We're ready to have a good week of practice and stay focused.
I have to assume that, you know, especially for a defensive lineman, it's easy to get your attention when you look at what Cornell's pass game has done this year, and especially that quarterback in Dalton Banks. I know you've still got, you know, a few days left and you'll see more film, but early on, what have they been doing offensively that's allowed for some pretty impressive passing totals this season?
They got a great quarterback. I mean, they all play well together. A good quarterback makes good decisions, a good run game. The O-line plays well together. They've got three returning starters on the interior line there. So they're just clicking. They're doing things well. I watched the second half of the Colgate game, and they were down 31-12 and ended up coming back and beating them 39-38. And, I mean, that's just a testament to how hard they play. And so they're going to be a good test this week.
TigerCast is a production of the Princeton University Athletic Department. You can subscribe to TigerCast on iTunes or catch new episodes every week by visiting goprincetontigers.com/TigerCast.